Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
By the way, another chemical that's risky at low doses is the herbicide atrazine, now banned in the European Union, but widely used here in the U.S. The Natural Resources Defense Council recently found troubling amounts of atrazine in three-quarters of the streams in farming regions. To date, the EPA has failed to act on atrazine as well as the low-dose screening program, and the agency declined to talk with us for this week's show. So we called Dr. Tracy Woodruff, who worked as an EPA scientist for 13 years. She now directs the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment at the University of California at San Francisco.
I think EPA needs to do more to look at the question of endocrine-disrupting chemicals. Clearly, the efforts that they've made to date on implementing the Endocrine Disruptor Screening Program could move a little faster. There has not been a whole lot of visible movement in that program since it was passed in 1996, so that was during the Clinton administration. Now, there's a couple things that go on with that program. One is they have to decide what chemicals to test, then they have to develop methods for testing those chemicals. But clearly that program has moved at a very slow pace, particularly when we look at the amount of scientific information that is continuing to emerge about a lot of these endocrine-disrupting chemicals and why we might be concerned about their low-level exposures.
Why do you think it's been so slow to move?
Well, I think there's many different things that come into play on why things can be slow, particularly at a regulatory agency. One issue is going to be the science and how do we vet through the science. Certainly another important issue is who are the people who are concerned about this and what are the issues that they care about and how much influence do they have on how the process moves. And clearly the testing of endocrine-disrupting chemicals is a focal point for groups, both environmental groups, but also the regulated community who's going to be concerned about how their chemicals are labeled.
Some people remark that industry has really been trying to block or halt this process. How fair a criticism is that?
I mean, the industry clearly cares about what's going to happen with this program. The industry clearly has been talking to EPA about what they want to see, and EPA is more or less responsive to that depending on their own political considerations. So one of the things that's difficult about some of these programs that are set up something like this but don't have enforceable deadlines is that things can drag out for a long time because EPA can spend a lot of time talking to lots of people and not necessarily moving forward. And if it's not a high priority for the agency to move it forward, then it will get stuck.
So I know you're in academia these days, mm-hmm. but let's say the phone rings and it's President Obama, and he calls you up and he says, well, how should the EPA now deal with endocrine disruptors? What would you tell him?
President Obama called me on the phone. That would be very exciting. My first priority would be to change the requirements so that we had to require information about chemicals that were going to remain on the market so we knew whether they were going to be a problem or not for public health.
So test everything.
Well, I think everything should have some type of basic information set to know whether they're a potential health problem.
And how important would it be to move something like atrazine to the head of the queue?
Well, I think atrazine actually has a lot of data looking at the exposures to atrazine and what the increased risks might be. So I'm not sure they need to put that through the Endocrine Disruptor Screening Program. I think the EPA could take the data and science they have at hand and move right to the decision-making process.
Now, as I understand it, if one has a new chemical that's going to come on the market, it goes through a testing process at EPA. But if it's been around, the screening is not required at all. I mean, you can put something in a cosmetic that if it's an existing chemical without testing to see what health effects it might have. Do I have that right? And if I do you think things should be changed?
Yes, you have that right. Chemicals that have been on the market since the passage of the Toxic Substances Control Act do not require any testing unless EPA provides a large amount of data to prove that we should test something, which, of course, is very difficult to do. New chemicals that come onto the market do have to have a little bit of testing, but it's not the complete set of testing that we would want to know for every chemical. And this seems a little bit odd that we have chemicals that are on the market, which we have no idea whether they, at the levels that people are exposed, are safe or not.
What substances that we're exposed to regularly in low levels are you most concerned about?
It's a little bit difficult to sort through because, as you probably know, if you think about high production chemicals alone, which is produced or imported in more than 1 million pounds, there's almost 3,000. Some of the chemicals I'm concerned about are things that I think we haven't been paying very much attention to. I mean, a lot of people are familiar with bisphenol A and phthalates. I'm also very concerned about ones that are what we would consider emerging or that we haven't been looking at very much.
For example?
Triclosan, thought to disrupt thyroid hormone. The cyclohexanes, which are a family of chemicals that are ubiquitous in consumer products and have been talked about in California as a substitute in dry cleaning for perchloroethylene. There's some suspicion that it can disrupt uterine function. And then the nonyl phenols, octyl phenols, which are found ubiquitously in the water supply and also thought to be an endocrine disrupting chemical.
Well, wait a second. Triclosan is in the deodorant soap that gets used in my household.
Yep.
The nonyl phenols are in detergents, so I should quit washing, I guess.
No, you should not quit washing, but you can use products to wash your hands and wash your clothes that do not have necessarily all these chemicals. It's very interesting about the soap and the triclosan, and it's in all these sort of antibacterial soaps, but there's not a lot of evidence that we need to have quite the focus on these antibacterial soaps that that we're led to believe. I think if you can just wash your hands with some very plain soap, that works just as well.
Tracy Woodruff is a former EPA scientist, and she's an associate professor at the University of California at San Francisco. Thank you so much, Dr. Woodruff.
Thank you.